news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Despite a long, dramatic delay in the Senate, courtesy of Joe Manchin, the Democrats on Saturday passed the American Rescue Plan. It was a 50-49 party line vote. There were some changes made to the bill that was sent over by the House. Most notably, the new unemployment insurance provision. It provides a $300 weekly supplement instead of four, but it does allow that first $10,200 to be tax exempt. Despite that and the earlier loss of the $15 an hour minimum wage provision in the legislation, it is still a huge victory for the Democrats and the American people. Bernie Sanders touted the victory, but pointed a finger directly at Republicans, not one of whom voted in favor of it, either in the House or Senate.
We probably have more unity today in America around this package than anything that I can remember. Polls vary, 65-70% of the American people understand the crisis we are facing. They want us to respond. This legislation is enormously popular, not just from progressives, not from moderates, but from Republicans as well, depending on the poll, 40-50% more Republicans support it because they can't afford to pay their rent. They can't afford to go to the doctor. They understand the government has got to help. So the real question here, and President Biden has raised this issue, is we believe in unity. We believe in bringing people together. How does it happen that when 40-50% of Republicans support this legislation, we can't get one vote from Republicans here? What's going on? And the answer is, I'm afraid that my Republican colleagues have moved so far to the right that they have lost contact with the needs of working families.
The bill now goes back to the House, who will pass it quickly, and send it to President Biden for his signature. That will happen before the March 14th deadline, when current unemployment supplements expire. But back to Joe Manchin for a moment. The most conservative member of the Democratic caucus held up the voting for almost 12 hours on Friday as he objected to the amendment dealing with unemployment benefits. He did win a concession. The amount of the unemployment supplement will be $300 instead of $400 weekly, and it will go through Labor Day instead of ending 3 weeks later. That episode, and the fact that not one Republican member voted to help the nation through the continuing COVID crisis, seemed to motivate the rest of the caucus to do something about the filibuster. Unfortunately, Manchin has repeatedly said he would never kill it. But he does seem to be open to reforming the rule that currently requires a majority party to muster 60 votes to proceed on anything.
It's basically designed to make sure the minority has input. That's exactly our founding fathers. And now, if you want to make it a little bit more painful, make him stand there and talk. I'm willing to look at any way we can, but I am not willing to take away the involvement of the minority. I've been in the minority. I've been in the majority. And I can tell you the respect I have on both sides when I've been there should be, I got something to say, listen to me, and I want that to happen.
So Manchin said he could see altering the filibuster with Senate rule changes. One example would be requiring the talking filibuster. That requires senators wanting to delay a bill to hold the floor and continue speaking. Once they give up, a simple majority in an up or down vote could allow the legislation to advance. After voting with the Democrats to approve the coronavirus relief bill without any Republican support, Manchin did say the filibuster should be painful. Okay, let's go. In other news, Sunday marked the 56th anniversary of the Bloody Sunday attack by Alabama state troopers on peaceful civil rights protesters. One of those leading the march across the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, John Lewis. Sunday marked the first year commemorating the march since John Lewis's death. President Biden used the occasion to sign an executive order to expand voting rights. Speaking at the Martin and Coretta Scott King Unity Breakfast, President Biden said, quote, "Every eligible voter should be able to vote and have that vote counted. If you have the best ideas, you have nothing to hide. Let the people vote." In his executive order, Biden directed all federal agencies to promote voter registration and reduce barriers for certain voting groups, including military and overseas voters, Native Americans, incarcerated citizens, and people with disabilities. Biden said the agencies should use their website and social media platforms to share registration information. He's also seeking to modernize the federal government's official voter registration site at vote.gov. Biden's push to increase voting access comes just a few days after the House passed H.R. 1. That is a sweeping voting reform bill that would require states to implement mail-in voting and same-day voter registration, among other things. Republicans, of course, are fiercely resisting its passage, setting up what could be another big fight in the Senate. Hundreds of people marched in Minneapolis on Sunday demanding justice for people killed by police as the city braces for the trial of Derek Chauvin. He's the former police officer accused of killing George Floyd, an unarmed black man in Minneapolis last May. Jury selection begins Monday. Protesters carried a white coffin with dozens of fresh roses while the crowd sang songs by Bob Marley, Prince, and Sam Cooke. This trial will likely last weeks. Jury selection begins Monday. But it keeps happening. Police in Rochester, New York, released a body cam video of an officer pepper spraying a mother, who was black, with her 3-year-old daughter. This is the same police department that last month suspended one officer and placed two others on leave after police pepper sprayed and handcuffed a 9-year-old black girl at her home. And finally, Monday is International Women's Day. President Joe Biden using the occasion to sign two executive orders to establish a gender policy council and to review Title IX policy guidelines, which regulate sexual assault investigations on campuses. It could take years to undo the damage that former Education Secretary Betsy DeVos did to the Title IX rules, but at least Biden is getting started on them. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.